The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
And now moving on to another part of the world, the Middle East, where I am joined by Belle True, Chief International Correspondent at The Independent. Belle, it's been 2 weeks since the war in the Middle East began. Earlier on today, Pete Hegseth said that the US would launch its highest volume of strikes today. He also said that the US and Israel are dealing with what's happening in the Strait of Hormuz. Are you under the impression that the Strait of Hormuz is in fact sorted out now for oil exports?
I mean, the short answer to that is we just don't know. But certainly Iran has been threatening that this is their intended, they're going to keep putting pressure on the Strait of Hormuz. That's their chief kind of stranglehold on the US and the global economy. So the issue is, you know, how can you possibly stop Iran from being able to have a massive impact on this key shipping lane, especially as I've said, they've said repeatedly that this is one of the main things that they will continue. I mean, Iran has said that they basically will not allow any oil to be exported through that shipping lane if they have anything to do with it. So the problem is right now is that there is so much pressure on Iran, and the only thing that Iran can really do is try and control the Strait of Hormuz and also fire drones and missiles at different parts in the region, again putting pressure not just on the US, not just on Israel, but actually, you know, multiple countries in the region and the world.
Yeah, and in fairness, Iran has some ability in the Straits of Hormuz. They have sea drones, submarines, GPS jamming mines. They aren't without ability in that specific area of, I suppose, maritime control.
Yes, I mean, it doesn't take an awful lot to disrupt this very important shipping lane, and that's the issue. You don't have to have a massive stockpile of weapons. You don't need to have the strongest air defences on the planet. You just need to be able to disrupt it enough with one or two drones, and I think that's what the region is realising. And this applies also to airports and countries like the UAE and Qatar, because all you need is one drone attack, one missile attack, and that can bring everything to a halt. And that's what is causing so much pressure globally in terms of the global economy, oil prices. And that's, you know, why no matter what the US says, in the end, a sea drone, a small air drone, even a commercial drone can bring something to a halt. And that's the power that Iran has right now, even if it's, say, for example, running low on its weaponry or its air defences are destroyed or its military infrastructure has been massively downgraded.
Yeah, and we know of about 16 ships that have already been hit by Iran and many other hundreds in the region who are not moving because of what is going on. And Pete Hegseth was also talking about the new supreme leader of Iran, saying that they believe him to be wounded or if not disfigured. Is there any evidence to back that up other than the fact that it was a written statement rather than an appearance by the new supreme leader that we were hearing quoted today?
It's impossible to know for sure, you know, without actually standing next to him and seeing him. But certainly Israeli intelligence is suggesting that he was wounded in some kind of attack. And again, we haven't seen him, properly on camera, disproving those accusations. But the new supreme leader has made statements. He is very much still there, and he's a hardliner. He's the favorite second son of a deceased supreme leader. It's an indication that the Iranian regime has no intention of backing down or negotiating with the US. But in terms of what his actual physical appearance is or just how wounded he is, we don't know. But certainly the fact that he hasn't been, you know, walking around on camera is an indication that he may have some injuries.
Belle, I know you're in Beirut. What is life like on the ground in Lebanon today?
Well, it's been very, very difficult over the last few days. There's been really extensive strikes from Israel, who have really ramped up this operation. And that's the concern here, is that no matter what the US and Israel decide to do with Iran, this is an entirely other theatre of war. So today I was just down in the south of Lebanon, where Israel has doubled the size of its evacuation orders on the population. The strikes were pretty continuous. I was talking to people who displaced, who just had family members killed within the few hours of meeting them. I was in hospitals where they said the ICU units were overflowing. And the situation is also the same in Beirut and other parts of the country. Here, people are very, very concerned that this is just the beginning. It's going to get worse. And no matter what happens with the US and Israel and Iran and the region, this war is here to stay, and it's only just beginning.
Yeah. And maybe before I let you you go, Belle. Obviously, the US is easing up sanctions on Russian oil in order to, I suppose, alleviate some of the pressure on the oil markets, which has obviously been very volatile since all of this has happened. Are politicians in the Middle East saying anything about that at the moment? Trump also, slightly contradictorily, said that he believes that Putin may be helping Iran a little bit.
I think the plea from the Middle East region here, I mean, obviously there's many different factions and different positions on what's happening, but I think the general plea is for this conflict to be over, because you know the pressure on the global economy, the pressure on the regional players here has been massive. I think there's a great desire for the bombing of Iran to stop. And also for the situation here in Lebanon to calm down as well, because you know the longer that this drags on, the more that Iran has the ability to be able to put a stranglehold on the Strait of Hormuz or on you know countries like Qatar and the UAE that have sold themselves internationally as safe havens in the Middle East. That's having a massive impact on their economy. So I think that the overall consensus here is no matter what's happening in terms of easing sanctions or trying to relieve pressure here and there, the only way for this to be resolved is for an end to this conflict. Because ultimately, as long as Israel and Iran are exchanging fire and there's a missile fire happening across the region and the Strait of Hormuz is, you know, part of that, then there's going to be an impact on oil prices, on the global economy, and of course on you know the security of the people in the region.
Belle True, Chief International Correspondent at The Independent from Beirut. Thank you very much for joining us. We're also joined now by Muireann Lynch, Senior Research Officer at the ESRI. Muireann, this is a very interesting time, I've no doubt, to be an energy economist such as yourself. So much going on. Obviously, the Strait of Hormuz has been effectively closed by Iran. Oil prices have gone up and up, although there is some volatility. But now this move by the US to ease sanctions on oil from Russia that is already at sea, what do you think the impact of that is going to be?
Well, I suppose all else equal, the impact is always going to be kind of downward pressure on prices from extra supply. But the question is, what will Iran do in return and how stable is this announcement and all that kind of thing. So if the, you know, and then there's also the fact that there's further upward pressure coming from the Middle East. So assuming it happens, assuming that this goes ahead and assuming that there is some more Russian oil brought into the international markets, that should put some downward pressure. But that's not to say that prices will go back to where they were before we had the Iranian conflict, because it's such a massive producer of oil. And then, of course, that strait is just it's where oil from an awful lot of countries get into the international market, not just from Iran.
Yeah, 20% of all the world's oil comes through there. Can I ask you, are we as bad now as we were in the, I suppose, immediate aftermath of the Russian invasion of Ukraine in energy terms?
I suppose sorry to do these typical economist thing, but it depends. I mean, the Russian conflict hit gas first, and because Europe, from Europe's perspective, we get far more of our gas from Russia than we do oil. And then the kind of the hike in gas prices bled through to oil prices. Now, the thing about when gas prices go up, we see it on our bills, but not straight away, because it takes a while for that to come through. This conflict, on the other hand, has hit oil first, and then from oil, it's bled through to gas. But as we all know, when oil prices go up, we do see that straight away.
Yeah,
we see that in petrol and in oil.
You've made this point with us before, and I think it's a really good one for listeners. With gas hikes in price, there's a lag. With oil, there's not.
Exactly, yeah. So from that point of view, we could say that this one is worse in that we're seeing it straight away. But in terms of where the actual prices are, gas prices at the moment are still nowhere near the heights that they reached in the aftermath of Ukraine. So that's good. However, they did have the fastest increase in prices ever about a week ago in one day. So the sudden jump in gas prices was much bigger than anything we saw in the aftermath of Ukraine. But then in the aftermath of Ukraine, they just continued to climb and climb and climb and climb and climb. So we're not where we were there. The key thing here, Kira, is how long is this going to last?
Yeah.
Because as we were saying, because there's that lag for gas and for electricity prices, if this were to end in the next month or two, I would be hopeful that we wouldn't see that in hikes in gas bills for homes and in hikes in electricity bills. However, if this conflict continues and if oil and gas prices stay the way they are, then it is inevitable that it will eventually come through in the bills. However, it shouldn't come through to the extent that Ukraine did on the basis of the price hikes we're seeing for now. But the main thing about wars is they are completely unpredictable. Nobody knows what's going to happen in the war, and nobody knows what's going to happen to fuel prices as a result.
I suspect even the main protagonists don't know what's going to happen in the war, or even what they want to happen in the war. Look, thank you very much for joining us on that. That is Muireann Lynch, their Senior Research Officer at the ESRI.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.